Amen, Lord, that's our desire, is to see you high and lifted up on your cross just now. So take the human instrument out of the way. May you be seen, heard, believed upon, and exemplified in the lives of your people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, choristers. And I'm going to call Geneva back up. Pastor Mike, back up. My wife, up, and Gwen, Miss Gwen, back up, very importantly, because she's the one that we are here to, yes. So we do something called reading into membership. And so we will do that now, and we have a gift and a certificate for Miss Gwen. We're so excited for her.
Yes, praise the Lord that Gwen has given her life to Jesus today. So we just want to welcome her into membership. Is there a motion to accept her into membership? Is there a second? All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Motion carried. Thank you.
All right. Hallelujah. All right, let's just have a quick prayer for Miss Gwen while she's still up. Oh, no, don't go yet. I said a quick prayer, but not that quick. All right, let's pray, shall we? Father, we know that you want to use Miss Gwen to serve you and to share what she's learned with others. So just bless her and make her a blessing. Anoint her with your spirit and just send her forth, Lord, knowing that she has a whole family here that she can come to for absolutely anything. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, my dear. All right. Happy Sabbath once again. It was a little weak. Happy Sabbath. Oh, so much better. Thank you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 in just the few minutes we have here this morning. Matthew chapter 13. Where Jesus tells seven parables pretty much in a row with a little discussion in between. But what is a parable? A parable was one of Jesus' teaching methods. And what he would do, he would take what was a deep spiritual truth that he knew we couldn't grasp, and he would throw next to it something that he knew we could grasp. Amen? So that's what the word, it's a compound word, para, bole, meaning near, throw near, okay? Para is like parallel, that's near. The Holy Spirit is the parakletos, right? So he's right by our side. You can think of two railroad tracks. He's by our side all the time. So parakletos is that, Holy Spirit. And so now we have para, bole. So, if you look in Matthew 13, we will take a look at this, and actually all three Gospels speak to this parable. Parables in general are designed to drive home one main point, to try to affix meaning to every little part of the parable, or you're going to get yourself in trouble. Unless, of course, the Bible does it for you, which it does in this case. In fact, Jesus himself does. So look with me in Matthew 13 and verse 1 and onward. I'm gonna read Matthew, then I'm gonna read Luke. I've got two Bibles up here, a King James and a New King James. But first from the King James, Matthew 13. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now this is the same day in which they came to him and said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside. And he said, who are my mothers and my brothers? He says, these people, my disciples, they're my mother and my brothers. You see that in the end of chapter 12. So the same day, verse 2, great multitudes were gathering together to him so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Verse 3, And he spake many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith, when they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Then a third soil, some fell among thorns or weeds. And the thorns or weeds sprung up and choked them. Praise the Lord, there's a fourth soil, amen, and that is the good ground. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, that's the title of our sermon, let him hear. We all have ears, but ears to hear is a little different thing, right? This is talking about a spiritual inclination, a humble heart to hear. Now, the disciples did not understand the parable, and so Jesus explained it to them. Look to verse 18. It says this, hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed from stony places, the same is he that hears the word and anon with joy receives it. So quickly, with joy, receives it. Those are all good things. Yet has not root in himself, but endures for a while. But when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 22, he also that received among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands and also brings forth fruit. Again, 100-fold, some 60, some 30. By the way, the average, I've asked people that do farming, the average yield should be about 7.5. So this is crazy good results, right? 30, 60, 100-fold from a crop. And then he goes to another parable. We're going to break this down, but let's take a look now to the Gospel of Luke. We've looked at Matthew's Gospel. Now we're looking to Luke. Dr. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. He was a physician that traveled around. And take a look at chapter 8. We have the parable of the sower in verse 4 and onward. And then the explanation in verse 11. I'm just going to go to the explanation this morning. So Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now this is the New King James. What's the difference between the King James and the New King James? Well, the Old King James uses the these and the thous, more the Elizabethan, as we call it, English. A little harder to understand, especially if English is not your first language. So New King James takes those out. There's a lot of other differences when it comes to little phrases like the faith of Jesus or faith in Jesus, but I won't go any deeper than that at this point. But that's basically it. They're pretty close to each other. Verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Clear enough, right? We don't have to guess what the seed is. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So we're comparing a gospel with a gospel. This is the way to study your Bible, by the way, right? Comparing scripture with scripture. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word, and with joy. And these have no root. And as the other version said, no root in themselves. Who believe for a while, but in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns or the weeds are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and the pleasures of this life. So these are things that can get in the way of our Christian walk, right? This is what it's talking about. And bring forth no fruit to maturity. Verse 15, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, by the way, how many of these soils heard? All of them heard, right? All of them heard. But now look at this good ground. It heard the word with a noble and good heart. I think if there's one point that this whole parable is about, it's this right here. Having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, use your scriptural minds. I'm thinking of the book of Revelation, a verse that talks about keeping with patience or patient endurance. Can you think of it? Here are those that keep what? The commandments of God and the faith of Jesus with patient endurance. Amen. All right, well, let's break this down now a bit. First of all, by the sower. Who is the sower? Well, ultimately, the sower is Christ himself. Amen? The one that went forth to sow the word. Now, as we share the word with others, we become sowers also, right? Sort of under the great sower, which is Christ himself. But he was the sower above all, and that's what, if you want to write down Matthew 13, 37, clearly tells us that the seed is what? We just read what the seed is. Seed is the word of God. Good, we got this. The sower went forth to sow. Now think of that in terms of Christ. He was in the glories of heaven, amen, where everything was bright and beautiful. But he came down, down, down to this dark earth to save us. Amen? He went out. Christ does not wait for you to come to him, right? We often talk about the day we found the Lord. Well, okay, but he's the one that was seeking you the whole time. Amen? Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. That word follow in other contexts means pursue. He is the hound of heaven. He is on your tracks, seeking to save you for eternity. So this is Christ who went out. He went out. We see it in the story of the prodigal son, right? In Luke 15. The prodigal goes off and does his prodigal thing, right? But as he starts coming back, where does the father meet him? A great way off, amen? He was out. He wasn't like sitting back, you know, taking care of business or whatever. You know, thinking, well, if he comes back, fine. No, no, no. He was out. He was praying. He was hoping that the son would come back, and he was waiting for him. Then the second prodigal son, right? He had another son. And how did he feel when the other prodigal came back? Not too good. Angry. And in fact, if you read Luke 15, again, he wouldn't even come into the party that was being thrown for the son that was lost. So what did God, what did the father do in that story? He went out. He went out for the other son, for the other prodigal. Jesus went out. The sower went out. Jesus came down from heaven in order to save our souls. I love the song, Down From His Glory. Ever-living story, my Savior and my God came, and Jesus was his name, born in a manger to his own, a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight, God's gracious tender laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. And the chorus goes, oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great creator became my savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. Christ came down, amen? He went out from the beauties of heaven down to this dark world to save us. And when he came, he took our same equipment. He took flesh, amen? There's really only been two kinds of natures that someone could take, right? There was the nature before the fall. That was a sinless nature. That's what Adam had. But once everybody fell in Adam, there was really only one nature to take. That's the one Christ took, amen? He took sinful flesh in order to save us. There's nothing that you have gone through. There's nothing that you will go through that Christ can't understand. Amen? He came and was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without what? Without sin. So we have a Savior. We have a great high priest in the heavens that we can go to and know that he totally understands. He gets you. Amen? Well, going on, there are three soils here. There are actually four soils, but three not-so-good soils. The wayside, I mean, if you think about, we've got all kinds of agriculture here, and if you go, you know, not too far away, you see, you know, almond groves for miles and miles. And so maybe get that picture in your mind. These hearers by the wayside, they hear, but they don't hear. They don't see their need. They don't see their danger. Friends, without Christ, we are in danger. Amen? We cannot live this life on our own. They also don't see the love of Christ as something that they really need. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, it sounds right, but they don't see it as their great need of their own life. And then the birds, whoop, snatch it away, right? It never really sunk in to the wayside here. Then we have the stony ground here. And these are some of the enemies of your crops, right? I mean, birds, that's why they have, you know, scarecrows. Obviously, soil preparation is huge. And weeds, right? What do you have to do? How hard do you have to try to make weeds grow? Not very hard, right? They're kind of indigenous, right? They just kind of do their thing. But now, the plants that you're trying to grow, that takes a little effort, doesn't it? That takes a little cultivation. So it is with salvation, amen? Those weeds will grow up. You have to keep plucking those babies, amen? But we must cultivate our relationship with Christ, amen? And how do we do that? Very simple. We do that by praying, right? We do that by studying his word, by getting in his word ourselves. We do that by sharing him. This is the way we cultivate. Never let anybody tell you that it's legalism to study your Bible, amen? Or to pray, or to share him in concrete ways. This is what we must do, because the plants need that cultivation. Weeds don't need it. Weeds will grow all by themselves, but the others do. Well, the stony ground hearers, interestingly enough, these are people that received the word, that is the seed, which is the word. They received it quickly and with joy. Now, is there anything wrong with receiving God's word quickly and with joy when we are given it? Absolutely not, right? That's the right thing to do, is to receive it quickly and with joy. But this stony ground here is we're more of a surface religion. By the way, maybe I should just do a little disclaimer, even though I'm halfway into this. Some of you are going to say, ooh, that's me. That's me. That soil's me. There's good news. Christ has overcome all of these obstacles. Amen? His victory is yours. So just keep that in mind as we continue to look. But these stony grounds were more of a surface religion, did not go deep. They trusted in their own good works and righteousness, and when persecution comes, they yield to the popular demand. They had never been motivated by the love of Christ. They never fully yielded to his control. Amen? That's what we need to do. We need to surrender to Christ. Paul said, I die how often? Daily. We too need to allow Christ into our hearts daily. Amen? Really minute by minute. And this stony ground, you can think about it even out here. You know, you'll have some surface soil that's really good soil, but not far below is like rock, right? And so the soil, the seed just can't go very deep. This was the stony ground hearers. Among the thorns, the third group, or the weeds. And we're told exactly what those are: cares, riches, and pleasures. This category never cultivate their relationship with Christ. As I said, the weeds grow. You don't have to help the weeds grow, but you need to cultivate your relationship with Christ. Their riches should have given them reason to glorify God, but instead they gave glory to themselves. A self-made man. Have you ever heard that? I'm a self-made man. Well, I feel a little sorry for you if you are. And again, remember, weeds are indigenous to the soil. But with us, there must be a constant dying to self, a constant yielding to him. The soil needs to be broken up, amen, of our hearts by deep repentance, prayer, Bible study, and soul winning. This group went to work for Christ, amen? And so if there are things in your life, then let God take those out, amen? Let God pull those weeds for you. He will do it, but we must allow him to do it, whether it's cares, riches, pleasures of this world. Some pleasurable things are not certainly not bad, right? Absolutely not. But it can be overdone, right? Even riches. God is the one who gives wealth. That's okay as long as we understand that he's the one that gave it and we use it for his glory. And so again, allow Christ to clean you out of those things that need to be cleaned. Amen? And I don't know who I'm talking to today as far as what specifically that is, but if there's anything in your life that is causing that deep, intimate, personal relationship with Christ not to succeed, let him have it, amen? Let him have it. Be one of the good ground hearers. And it's not like we can't all be this, because all we need to do is have an open heart to receive our sweet Jesus, amen? It's not rocket science. It's just saying, Lord, I need you. I know you're my only hope. It's about it. Good ground hearers, they hear, they understand, they bear exponential growth. They feel their need. Now, this is us. Now, this soil, you should be saying, oh, yeah, that's me, right? That's what I want to be me. They feel their need of the love of Christ. They see their own sinfulness and their need of repentance. And think about, for a contrast, the Pharisees. Just the opposite, right? Here came Jesus healing, teaching, showing the Father's character, and they're like, nope, don't need it, don't want it. Oh, that should be the opposite of the way we are. We should be meditating upon the truth and seeing it as a living reality, right? This Bible is not just some other book that has some good stuff in it. This is God's word, amen? This is powerful stuff. And we should be meditating upon Scripture, right? You know, even in the ministry, you can be too busy doing the honey-do list than spending time with the honey. Amen? I mean, it can happen. You know, I'm doing ministry. Well, are you spending time with the Lord? That's the basis of everything. Amen? We must have this daily. And if you're like, well, I'm not having any worship right now, you don't have to start with an hour. Start with 10 minutes, right? 10 minutes of prayer. Get a daily devotional and just read that. I mean, if you're not doing anything, start with something. Amen? But this is what we must do. And use your talents. We're going to have this afternoon a spiritual gift test. God wants to use you. Amen? He didn't call you here just to learn. He did call you here to learn. But he wants to use you. There's some leaders in this congregation that aren't leading quite as God would have them lead. Now, some of you have some more things to learn. I get that. But God wants to prepare you for those things. Amen? And this is the good ground here, is meditating upon the truth. It's a life of joy. It really is. There's no better life than living for Christ. Amen? I'm sure all you have a testimony and can testify. When I was in the world, you know, you think you're doing great. You know, you think everything's fine until the next morning when you have that hangover. And it's just like a rat race, right? There's no peace. There's no joy found in that kind of life. And then when that blind chiropractor shared Christ with me, it's like, whoa, this dude has something that I don't have, and he's blind. How is this possible? Well, he let me know how it was possible, and I've been thankful ever since. Amen? It's a life of joy, right? We should be people of joy. We should be gladventists. Come on, say amen. And we should be people that are not easily upset. Amen? How's that working for you? I mean, right? I mean, because, you know, things happen, right? But are you easily upset? If you are, I mean, the Lord, obviously, we can run to the Lord for forgiveness, but we should be big-hearted people. Amen? People that show that love, and also people that do not crumble under trials. Amen? Because trials will come, no doubt. Jesus said, when you go through the waters, Isaiah 43, the Bible says, when you go through, not if you go through the waters, when you will, and God will be with you. Amen. He will carry you. He will keep you. He will hold you. I'm closing with a story. First, just want to tell all of you to hold on to Jesus. Amen. That's the key. That's really the key with this last ground here is hold on with patient endurance. Keep. That means hold on to. Don't let anything have you let go of Christ. Amen? Hold on to him. This last story is of a family that's going through trials. We got the news. They're friends of ours from Washington State. And I talked with the husband last week, and he said, you know, there's some kind of bad signs for my wife. You know, we're not sure yet. Since then, they've got the news from the oncologist. She has cancer both in the bone and the lungs. And I read a Facebook post from her daughter, and it was so encouraging. I can't even tell you. You know, how encouraged I was to hear this daughter. She's like, it's tough. You know, we're perplexed, but we're not knocked out. We're going forward. We're so thankful that we can do this. And she said, every curve that life takes, we're so thankful that God is with us. Amen? I don't know what people do without Christ, especially in times of trials. But when trials come, know that God will be with you. Christ will be with you. And he'll hold your hand. And hold on to him because he is holding on to you. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you want all of us. You have prepared all of us to be good ground here. So, Lord, our job is to just humbly look up and say, thank you, Jesus. To look up and say, Lord, I need you in my life. I've tried going my own way, and that didn't work out so well. But, Lord, as I hold on to your hand, I realize that you are holding on to me with your strong hand and that you'll never let me go. So may we depend upon you. May we meditate on your word. May we pray to you in our secret place. And, Lord, may we share you. And we know that your promise is a great harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold. And that's fruit in our lives. That is your character in our lives. And that's the fruit of seeing others brought to you. And so thank you, dear Jesus, for being our God, and Father, for being our God today. In Jesus' name, amen.